As announced this morning, we're going to talk about the subject, the eyes of His glory. The eyes of His glory. Let's look at, first of all, Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 8. That's where we'll start in the book of Isaiah tonight. Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 8. Isaiah wrote these words, "For Jerusalem is ruined and Judea is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of His glory." The nation of Israel had become so corrupt by this time. Jerusalem is ruined, the prophet said. Judea is fallen. All God's people were against the Lord, said Isaiah. And they provoke God. They provoke the eyes of God's glory. When people do not know the true God, then they have problems. Look at chapter 1 of the book in verse 3. Now Isaiah said, he's talking about a couple of animals here. He says, "The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider." He says that animals know who their master is. They know who to go to. They know who will help them. He says, but the nation of Israel, they didn't know. They didn't even know about God. They forgot God. And why did they forget God? They was easily embraced in the process of idolatry. Idol worship. Idol worship. Now let's look at chapter 2. Verse 20. Chapter 2, verse 20 of the book. And Isaiah talked about their idol worship. Now here's God's people. Here's God's people departing from Him in the day of Isaiah. Isaiah said, wrote, "In that day a man should cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats." He said one time, these people are going to, they're going to not embrace idolatry. But it's going to be too late, because the judgment of God will be upon them. Because Israel, God's people, had lost sight of God's reality and of God's nature at this point in their existence on the earth. Their gods or idols could not see. You make an idol, that idol's no good to you. Jimmy can't think. It can't act. It can't react. It can't speak to you. It can't give you instructions that'll be good for you. It just sits there, doesn't it? But the eyes of His glory. Now we're talking about the true God. The true God sees everything we do. The true God knows the ways of people. The true God will have to face one day in judgment with His Son. Do we respect the eyes of His glory tonight? Or do we seek to do idol worship? We see in this country that this country is rapidly becoming like Israel back in the days of Isaiah, because people are worshiping something besides God. They worship money. They worship houses. Worship land. Worship any number of things in their lives rather than God. Because if they had a true knowledge of God, and if they had a true desire to be obedient to God, there'd be more people in church buildings these days. But they're not, because they don't see the importance of the eyes of the glory of God. Number one, God's glorious eyes see. He sees everything around us. What we do, what everybody else does, throughout the whole world, at the same time. God's eyes see constantly in our lives. Now turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. And we will see David, the writer of the Psalm, and he talks about darkness, he talks about light, he talks about God. He said, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. What's he saying? God sees everything that we do it all the time. We try to hide from him, he's still there. We say, we think the darkness will cover us. Well, it won't cover us. He says, we'll still be exposed. We say, the night will be shining even as it was daytime. So, he says that God's eyes see constantly. Also, if you drop down to verses 15 and 16 in that Psalm 139, we see God sees completely. He sees completely everything that goes on at the same time in the world. He saw us as we were being formed and we were being made. In verses 15 and 16 of that Psalm 139, the writer wrote these words, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet bring unperfect, and in thy back all my members were written, which were in continuance, were fashioned, yet as when I as yet there was none of them. He said, God saw us when we were formed, when we were made, because all things are open under God's eyes. All things are exposed before God's eyes. Jim's been leading you through a study of the book of Hebrews. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. We see the writer would talk about God's, we've been exposed to God. He says, neither is there any creature or any person that is not manifest or not made known in His sight. Everything is known to God. Everything we're doing right now is known to God. He says, but all things of what? Are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Everything that we know about, everything that we do is exposed before God. God's eyes are not only, they're open all the time, but they also see comprehensively. They see everything at the same time. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon's writer of this book, he learned a lot about life toward the end of his life. But in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3, he finally realized where God stood in his life and how God stands in the lives of other people in his day. He said, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. We cannot see who's doing good and who's doing evil at this present time. All we know right now is you see me in this pulpit and I see you sitting out in that assembly. But God sees at this point and this time of night, or this time of day, He sees people that are doing good and He sees people that are doing evil this day. That's right now. Therefore, God's eyes, during the days of Isaiah, saw Israel's evil practices. The worship of idol worship. In Isaiah, let's go back to the book of Isaiah now. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 16. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 16. Now, God, through Isaiah, encourages people to get their lives right before God. He said, wash you, make you clean. In order to be washed, in order to be clean, you have to be dirty, don't you? They were dirty. They were sinful. He said, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. He said, put away this idol worship that you're doing. Cease to do evil. He says, quit right now. Not tomorrow, not next week, but quit right now, said God to Isaiah, to Israel. Because God's eyes saw adultery in the land of Israel at that point. Because if you look at chapter 2, verse 28, we see that the writer Isaiah says, their land also is full of idols. They worship the works of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. He said, you made yourselves gods, and you were worshiping these gods that could not respond to you, but you didn't worship the true God. During that period of time of Israel's history, God saw, and his eyes saw, the moral confusion of Israel. You look at Isaiah chapter 5 now, verse 20. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. And this describes today in our society, just as it was in the days of Isaiah. It said, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That sounds like our society, doesn't it? Some people go around in our society and think things which we know that are wrong according to the Word of God, they say, that's all right. That's just part of it. That's the way just people live now. That's our lifestyle. Such as homosexuality. Such as any number of sinful things that people are doing right now. But this describes even America tonight, as it did Isaiah's time, at Israel's time during Isaiah's prophecy about Israel. He said there are people in Israel at that point that was calling what God detested good, what God promoted but evil. He said they called darkness for light and light for darkness. He said they didn't see anything wrong with what they were doing. But God saw the moral confusion of Israel at that time, and God sees the moral confusion of our day in our country. Number two, God's glorious eyes foresee the coming of the day of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 12 says, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. People tonight that are proud and lofty, and they feel like they don't need God, and they don't need any instruction from the Word of God. They've got it all figured out for themselves, and one day they're going to find out they don't have it figured out. But the day of the Lord is coming, and we have to be ready. Because wayward Jerusalem and Judea had refused to remain faithful to God. As we look at the first scripture in Isaiah 3 and 8, for Jerusalem is ruined. He said it's ruined. It's no good. For Judea has fallen. Departed from God. They will bring evil upon themselves. God didn't bring the evil upon them. They brought it upon themselves. Look at verse 9 of that chapter. The show of the countenance doth witness against them. He says their acts and their deeds are testimony against these folks. And they declare their sin as Sodom. He said, they're just like Sodom in the long ago. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Again, that sounds like our country today. Countries take sin, like Israel did back then, and they didn't hide. They just let sin was exposed to everybody. And he said they rewarded evil unto themselves. They thought evil was all right. They thought what they did for them wanted to do was all right. And we have that philosophy in our country concerning this day. It's called situation ethics, Jim. Situation ethics, where you say nothing's right or wrong per se, but depends on what situation you're in. becomes right or wrong. Well, that's not right, because it's either right or it's either wrong according to the Word of God. So therefore, we have the same mindset that these people did back then. They were also, was coming an impending destruction to these people too. Now look at chapter 3, verses 24 and 25. It said, "And it shall come to pass that instead of a sweet smell, there shall be stink, and instead of a girdle, a rent, instead of a well, set hair baldness, instead of a stomacher, a girdle of sackcloth, and burning instead of beauty. The men shall fall by the sword, and thy mighty in the war." What happened? God had departed from them because of their sinfulness, because of their adultery, because of their acts against God. Isaiah was trying to get his people to put away the evil of their praxis from before the Lord in Isaiah 1:16. He was trying. He had a hard job. He's trying to get a whole nation come back to God. He's trying to see this nation, get this nation to come back to God, and so the glorious eyes of God would be again recognize them as His people. Thirdly, God's glorious eyes are now on you and me at this hour. God sees us as He saw Israel in the long ago. We looked at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. You remember what the writer said? He said, "But all things are what? Are naked and open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." And that is God. Everything we do, everything we say, are open to God. There's an old song that declares, "There's an all-seeing eye watching you." And He does. He watches us every day. The psalm says He watches every day, every step, all the way. God sees us when we're obedient to Him. And He wants us to be obedient to Him. But it's up to us if we're obedient unto Him. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. John was the author of love. He talked about love more than anybody in the New Testament outside the Lord Jesus. It says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous or burdensome or unreasonable." He said, this is what God expects of us. He said, He expects us to keep His commandments. And then when we keep His commandments, God sees us when we live a righteous life before Him. Now look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. Now this will, Peter would write these words, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears open to their prayers." God is always going to watch for us. He's going to listen to our prayers if we're righteous. But the face of the Lord is against them, what? That do evil. He doesn't have any part in that. Nor will He have any part in that. People decide they want to leave God. God, He lets them. Because He has made man a free moral agent. And you and I tonight can choose to accept God or not to accept God. As simple as that. God sees us when we're in distress. He saw Hagar when she had run. When she had been run away from home, from Abraham's house. Look at Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16, beginning with verse 6. We see in this passage of Scripture that here was a non-Israelite. Hagar was an Egyptian. And anyway, she had a son. And anyway, Sarai thought she was making fun of her because she had had a son and Sarai couldn't have a son, and so she got tired of him. She asked Abraham, said, "Abraham, why don't you just tell her she needs to go?" And Abraham said, "No, it's not my problem. You tell her. You tell her what you want to tell her." So she made life real hard on Hagar, and she left. And then the Bible says that In verse 7 of that chapter, the angel of the Lord found her by the fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. And the angel of the Lord says, Hagar, Sarah's maid, where comest thou? Whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai, because she was hard on me. And the angel of the Lord told her, said unto her, return to your mistress and submit yourself unto thy hands. He says, then the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, and it should not be numbered for multitude. And in verse 11, he said, the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord had heard thy affliction. So you see, the Lord had heard Hagar's affliction. And he sent the angel of the Lord to comfort her in her time of distress, and told her what she had was a nation that was another nation that was going to be born through Hagar, through Ishmael, her son. God sees us when we're in sorrow, passing of a loved one, or even just the sorrows of life, the problems of life. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. He said, who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. How do we get comfort from God? Where do we go to get comfort from God? The Bible, the Word of God. He sees us in our sorrow. And God also sees us when we die. He sees us when we die. Psalm 116 and verse 15, this has been used over and over at funerals. And the psalmist said, precious is the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. We can see God at this hour. Jesus said we could see God, and he said we can be blessed by seeing God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We see God tonight through the Word of God, the Scriptures. Jim talked this morning about a mirror. We look in that mirror and we see what we are. We stopped this morning, we saw what we were, what we are in that mirror. But tonight we're looking at from the point of view how God sees us, how God sees our lives. We know what we do. We know how we're exposed to God. We shall one day see the Lord. We shall one day see God Himself, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know, and the word know means have knowledge of, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The realization that we live at this hour under the all-seeing eyes of God can motivate us to be even more faithful to him. When you think about the eyes of the glory of God, how does that measure up to your life? Do you have sin in your life that separates between you and God? And you know that you die tonight, if Jesus would come, that you wouldn't be ready for judgment. Jim's going to lead us in this song. Is our heart right with God? Is it right with God? Israel's heart wasn't right with God, and the prophet Isaiah pointed this out to them, to a whole country. But you have some time to do something about it. You have time to repent of sins. Or maybe you never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you need to do that right now. We encourage you to do that, because now is the time. The eyes of His glory are looking down upon you. What's your response to that, to the eyes of the glory of God? And you need to be obedient in baptism, or rededication of your life before God. We encourage you to do that now as together we stand and sing.